odd. 551 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the seven route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the bunch on third story. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
Hey, kids, welcome back. It's another edition of Patriots Playbook on Patriots.com radio. My name is John Rook, and we're very, very happy to be back with you again talking some football as we're on the cusp now of kicking off the 2010 NFL season with the New England Patriots. And for those of you that are somewhat unfamiliar with this particular program and more familiar with PFW and PFW in Progress, let me bring you up to date just a little bit so you understand where we're coming from. First of all, welcome if you're a new listener. And welcome back if you're an older listener. I notice I didn't say old. I'm not referring to age or anything else or habits or anything else like that, but maybe you're more of a familiar listener than others. This is the 10th year that we have done Patriots Playbook. That's right, year number 10. So Patriots.com radio has been way out there, way ahead of the curve in terms of website and audio streaming and radio, actual radio programming, more so than any other team in the NFL. Season 10 that we bring you the playbook. So we're very happy to be back again for that particular year. And just a little on my background, for those of you who wonder who this goofball is coming in after the PFW guys, this is my 18th season with the New England Patriots. I serve primarily as the stadium voice for the Patriots and the Revolution, and also do quite a bit of voice work, commercials and speaking engagements and hosting and things like that for the team, both in a marketing and non-marketing sense, football and non-football things as well that go on in and around Gillette Stadium. But my background is over 30 years as a radio and television broadcaster, the last 22 years of which have been in New England, primarily in Boston and Providence. So that's a little on my background, and I'm very happy to share with you my thoughts and my insight, not only on the NFL, but certainly on the Patriots and other things that go on around professional and college football. And I mentioned college football, even though this is Patriots Playbook, and we'll definitely go inside the team and talk about all sorts of things around the team, certainly the hot news items of the day, of which we've got a couple for today that we'll get into in a little bit. But we try to take a look at some of the issues around the Patriots and things that could also affect the Patriots, whether it comes from a draft sense or a personnel sense or a theology sense or, just anything that could end up basically having to do with the football operations overall. Part of my gig is also as I'm a college football play-by-play announcer. And I primarily cover Big East football, also this year doing some ACC games, so that'll take me in and out of these hosting duties from time to time throughout the course of the college football season. But generally speaking, as Fred mentioned just a short while ago, we're here Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays throughout the week from 2 until 4 p.m. Eastern time. Today we're actually only here until 3 o'clock because we've just started school up here in the Northeast. Until the buses start running at school, which they don't start running until tomorrow. Why they start school a week before the buses start running is beyond me. But hey, it's Rhode Island. That's where I live. So what can I tell you? So I got to get my son from school today at 3 o'clock. Otherwise, he's stuck there until about 5 and he's missing valuable homework time. And so I think everybody realizes, I know and he knows, that homework's got to come first before everything else. So he can start taking the bus tomorrow, which is why we'll be with you on a full schedule tomorrow. Brian Lowe is actually going to come in at 3 o'clock Eastern time today and give you an early sneak preview of the Fantasy Lowdown. And I know many of you are probably getting together your fantasy football teams anyway, so you'll have Brian with you from 3 until 4 o'clock today for an early sneak peek of the Fantasy Lowdown. And then we're back with our regular schedule from 2 until 4 Eastern time starting tomorrow and Thursday as we preview Week 1, the Cincinnati Bengals coming in. Now, there are several different ways that you can get to us here on the show. For those that are initiated, I'm sorry that I'm kind of repeating old hat, but just bear with me for a second. Certainly, it's the same email address as the PFW guys. Webradio@patriots.com is how you can reach us. Webradio, it's all one word, WEBRADIO, webradio at patriots.com. The telephone number that you can call in, just like a radio talk show program, which, of course, we are here, 508 is the area code, 508-543. What's the last four digits, Kevin? I thought I had this memorized. 543. Oh, good Lord. See, now I've gone and done it already.
Yeah, they took the post-it away from me, too, John.
Did they?
They did. We have this brand new board, too.
All right, see, so you're playing with new equipment today, and so you're flying blind because we just had to redo the entire studio, the radio studio there in the bowels of Gillette Stadium. And Fred's actually partially correct. I'm not really from my mother's basement. It's my own basement, my home in East Providence, Rhode Island, Rumford, Rhode Island. But I have an ISDN studio line set up here. For those that don't know what that means, it means it allows me to do radio quality programming, voice work and things like that right from home, and usually one day a week, usually on Wednesdays, I do it from here so I can be home when my son gets home from school. We just kind of reversed that today, and I'll be in the studio tomorrow.
All right.
543.
It's 508-543-7482.
Yeah. Thank you. 7482. I wanted to say 9482, but I knew that was wrong.
All right. We're in business.
543-7482. Okay. There are probably many of you screaming at me right now, it's 543-7482, you know, and I don't have it in front of me because I thought I had it, and then I just totally and completely did, you know, an Arizona governor-type brain freeze. Did you guys see that story last week when she was in the middle of a debate and just had a brain freeze, brain cramp, brain fart, whatever you want to call it? God, I felt for her. And I think I just had one of those. Kind of comes with age. Okay. I also want to introduce something new into the equation to expedite your questions, your comments on the program, if you like. I am on Facebook. So all you need to do is go to Facebook, look for John Rook, J-O-H-N-R-O-O-K-E, and friend me. And if you want to friend me on Facebook, I will take your friend request, and then we can chat through Facebook. And that way you get a chance to instantly message me throughout the course of the program. So let's try and see if we can do some of that. And I know some of you, many of you, in fact, I've got several UK friends who are Patriots fans from the United Kingdom who have already Facebooked me over the last couple of years. And it's great during football season. It's great because we can talk about stuff left and right. But during the course of the show, I'll be happy to do that. So if you'd like to friend me on Facebook, you can do that. I'm also on Twitter. It's at jrook0722. J-R-O-O-K-E 0722. That's my Twitter sign, and if you want to hook me up with Twitter as well, we can go on Twitter and Facebook and email and telephone, and let's just see if we can talk a little football this season right here inside Patriots Playbook. Now, the goal of the program is, the stated goal is to do some of the fun stuff in between, which we're going to. We'll talk about a lot of different things in and around the Patriots, as I talked about, and things that would affect the Patriots either around the NFL or around college football and news of the day, world events, whatever could end up affecting the Patriots and or their play on and around the field, that's what we're going to do. We will spend quite a bit of time during the course of game weeks also talking to folks who are involved with the Patriots opposition. This being Cincinnati game week, we will hopefully hook up with members of the Cincinnati media over the course of the next couple of days. Not doing anything today because we're kind of abbreviated for today's program. But we will get into some of that. We will also hear from the Patriots. We'll get sound from inside the Patriots locker room most every week as well when the Patriots players are available. And the one thing that I really like about this particular format, even though, yes, we try to do things in very much a radio style, we're not held to the hard and fast rules of you got to be in, you got to be out at certain times like you would hear on your regular sports talk radio station wherever you may be listening to us today. We kind of do things in the raw here, unedited, uncut, and I hope, like me, I hope you can appreciate some of that because, quite frankly, I think it gives you a little bit more of an insight as to what actually these guys are saying. In other words, when we do a conference call, and we will play some of the conference calls with members of the opposing team every week. Like this week, I believe Marvin Lewis, head coach of the Bengals, is scheduled. And I believe Chad Ochocinco for the Bengals as well. Not entirely certain on that one, but when it becomes available, we're going to make it available to you. Not only do we play you, you know, what they have to say, but we give you the media's questions as well. We play these things in their entirety. Because a lot of times, and this is one of the big criticisms of the sports media and of media in general. A lot of times, interviewees, a coach, a player in particular, will say, well, I was asked this question, that was my answer, but it was taken out of context. And you can understand how sometimes things can be taken out of context because a talk show host or a reporter might say something flip or might have a snide comment to make and then play a soundbite, which totally has nothing to do with the subject matter. And so, therefore, people hear it, they don't understand the context in which the question was asked, and therefore, you know, it makes sometimes, you know, the subject, the coach or the player, upset. Well, here, inside Patriots Playbook, we allow for entire context, all right? One of the things that we can do here in our two-hour time slot each and every day is we've got the time. We're not held to any hard and fast, you know, got to get a commercial break in at 20 past the hour or 40 past the hour or anything like that. We're not held to those rules. So we can take things in their entirety to allow you the context in which the question was asked so you can understand why the respondent had his or her answer to that particular question. So we play things in their entirety as much as time will allow in our two-hour window here on the program. And so that's one of the things that I think that we can do here that you can't get listening to WEEI or listening to 98.5 the Sports Hub, or, you know, certainly in the local area here, or wherever you may be listening to us here via the internet, or if you're downloading us on the podcast later on after the live version, that's great. You can't get that kind of stuff from your regular sports talk radio station. You can get that here. Plus, it goes without saying, we're talking Patriots pretty much all the time here, as opposed to other radio stations which go off and talk baseball or talk, you know, about their other football teams or anything else that might be going on. We're doing football. We're talking Patriots here. So if you need that Patriots fix, this is where you're going to come. Plain and simple. This has got to be your destination point. Now, I kind of, you know, wanted to start off today. It's really hard to recap the offseason and to go back over a lot of stuff that I know that the PFW guys undoubtedly have gotten to. So I'm not going to try to recap or rehash or let's go back to the draft or let's talk about training camp or anything like that. If you have questions, that's fine, and I'm happy to answer them. Best way to do it is to pick up the phone and call 508-543-7482. Send me an email, webradio@patriots.com, or friend me on Facebook, John Rook, and we can instant message. We can Facebook chat, and then be happy to jump into it for you right there. That being said, I was at most of the training camp. I attended a lot of the sessions. I was there during the Saints practices, practices that they had. So all of the games, whether they were home or away, we can jump back into some of that. I just have a couple of thoughts that I wanted to expand on after what, you know, the guys just asked me during PFW about my thoughts, my optimism for the upcoming season. I don't want to necessarily be a buzzkill. That's not my goal here. But part of what my goal is here on this particular program is to give you another perspective from someone who has been with the football team and been with this organization longer than any of the PFW guys have been. This is, as I said, 18 years that I've been with the organization. The only person in the Gillette Stadium building in the football operations that has been around the team longer than I have is Dante Scarnecchia. That's a true story. So I can give you a perspective, you know, basically going through a few eras here. I've covered this football team on a daily basis for 22 seasons now, including my time in the daily media, through Providence TV work that I've done, through Boston television work that I've done, through Boston radio work that I've done, through Providence radio work that I've done, and through my 18 years with the New England Patriots franchise. So I can give you sometimes the same perspective and same opinions as the PFW guys can, because they do cover the team on a daily basis. They write for the team publication, so they're going to have a lot of good stuff. I can give you a little different spin on some things. I can give you more of a national spin on things because I've also hosted programs for ESPN Radio. I'm a syndicated play-by-play guy for the ISP Sports Network. So there are different things that I can give you. So one thing I will give you, and I promise that I will give you, is I'm going to give you my honest opinion. I hope that that's what you want. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm not going to toe the company line, so to speak. And I think that's one of the great things that I really enjoy about this particular format. This is a Patriots program. We are technically Patriots employees, but the Patriots allow us to speak our minds and give our honest, unbridled opinions. You really don't find that in too many places in this day and age. Do you? No, you don't. There's always a little hidden pressure that, you know, well, we're paying your salary, so you got to toe the company line. We don't really have that here. And I think we're, you know, from an employee point of view, you know, it's a great thing. And I wanted to make that a top priority for today's show just to make sure that you understand that, you know, if we're going to come out and we're going to be optimists, we're optimists for a real reason. If we're going to be negative, we're not sugarcoating things. We're giving you our unbridled opinions here. And the Patriots allow us to do that. So, we, you know, I personally thank the Crass for allowing us to do that. You know, the PFW guys give you their opinions in the newspaper every week. They give you their opinions, uncensored opinions here on PFW in Progress on Patriots.com radio. I'm going to do the same thing here inside the playbook. When we ask questions of the other media, when we ask questions of the Patriots players and coaches on this program as well, it's a straight shot. This isn't going to be home cooking. It's a straight shot. Otherwise, I think we'd all be a little bit uncomfortable doing this. So I hope that you can understand that. I hope that you appreciate that, that's part of what we're all about here. So to get back to the original point, you know, Fred seems to be a little bit more of an optimist. I'm a little surprised, frankly, that Paul, whose opinion I greatly respect, is optimistic at 10-6. I have to admit, losing... you know, first of all, losing Ty Warren out for the year, losing Lee Bodden, losing Brandon McGowan, cutting Derek Burgess. I mean, granted, obviously, if they cut him, they must feel like they have better. But I'm having a little hard time coming to grips with that one defensively. And I think we all realize that this team's offense can be as good, potentially, as what we saw in 2007 during a record-breaking year. I think it has the potential to be as good. That's no lie. Defensively, this is where this team is shortcoming. I think we all can sort of agree on that, can we not? At least I'm sort of the opinion that we can agree on that. If you differ in your opinion, hey, now's the time to step up to the plate and differ. But I'll tell you that, you know, while I think this team, in order to be competitive, has got to win a bunch of 35-31 type of games this season, I think that it certainly exists for them to do that because this offense is capable of literally outscoring another team on the field. Real test is coming up this Sunday, gang. Real test. I mean, they've got to find a way to defend Ochocinco and Terrell Owens. They got to find a way to defend, you know, Benson in the backfield. They got to find a way to slow down Carson Palmer. They got to find a way to put some pressure on him. We don't. I admit that during the preseason, we really didn't see a lot defensively to hang a hat on. But then again, this team was most likely playing it very milk toast, very plain vanilla on defense during the preseason because you know that's Bill Belichick's. That's his modus operandi. Show them nothing. Don't give away anything. Play your cards close to the vest. How many other cliches can I throw in here? Belichick does all of that. This coaching staff, these players, they do all of that. They do not play the hand that is not dealt to them. So they're not showing you anything that they have. They're just not going to do that. They're going to wait until the regular season starts. Now, I hope that we've got more of a pass rush. I really believe that, you know, while, you know, we've got a very young and relatively inexperienced secondary now, thanks to McGowan being gone and thanks to Bodden being gone, you got two largely untested, unproven, you know, darn near rookie, you know, corners that are going to see a significant amount of playing time out there. The one way that you can combat that is by putting a pass rush on, and then you let Derek Burgess go, and it just doesn't seem to add up, does it? I also think, though, that this team is going to have trouble stopping the run. based on what I saw in the preseason. Now, maybe they're going to fool us all. Potentially, I think this defense is built to stop the run. I think Brandon Spikes could very easily be a defensive rookie of the year candidate. I really believe that strongly. I think Spikes has got what it takes to be right there with Mayo in the middle of that 3-4 defense and be, you know, stalwarts, standouts, all-pro potential players for several years. I think outside linebacker has potential, depending on what we can see from Jermaine Cunningham, and frankly, he was injured for a lot of training camp. But I think that, you know, again, there's potential there. I just don't know if there's enough for this year. So I think we can all agree that defense seems to be the problem area. This team is going to get in a lot of shootouts. Is that going to be enough? When you look at the schedule, you have to realize this team could be biting off more than it could chew. This is a tough first week. I mean, you don't get the choice of, you know, lining up for, you know, cupcakes like they, you know, some teams do, you know, in college football. Although that was a whale of a game last night, Boise State and Virginia Tech, was it not? That was an unbelievable game. Great start to the college football season. Wow, what a game. Boise State's for real. I'm sold. I was a big doubter last night going into the game, but I'm sold after seeing them play Virginia Tech last night. Great game. We'll spend some time talking on that too. But at any rate, you can't line up cupcakes. You do what the NFL schedule maker tells you. That's the commissioner's office, of course. You do what they tell you to do. You play who they tell you to play. And the schedule maker didn't do the Patriots any favors. I could see where someone could say, hey, this is a must win to get off on the right foot. This is going to set the tone and the tempo for a lot of things. And, yeah, I mean, if there was ever a week one must win for anyone, sounds kind of silly, doesn't it, when you got 17 weeks ahead of you? It really sounds kind of ludicrous, in fact. Stupid. All right, stupid. But if there ever was a week one must, it probably would be this week. Just because of what the Patriots have in order, you know there's going to be a war of attrition. The roster will fight with injuries to come. You know, let's face it. This team is going to have to go a lot of adversity. Can they keep their heads above water? Can they keep enough healthy players when they're already eating into the depth defensively? Can they keep enough healthy players on that side of the football to be competitive? Or are they going to continue to give up 31 points a week? And what if the offense has an off week? That's a big L. Now, I'm not sold on the Jets as being, you know, the team that, you know, beats all in the AFC East. I really think the Patriots' prime competition is going to come from the Dolphins. I thought that before the season started. I think that now. I think the Jets may struggle to score, at least initially. Having Revis back is certainly going to help them defensively. But I'm not sold on Mark Sanchez either. And plus, I think the Jets will open up their mouths and they'll yap, whether it's, you know, Rex Ryan or whether it's LaDainian Tomlinson, who's already starting to mouth off a little bit. Or, you know, the Jets are going to let their talking, you know, speak for themselves. And I think they're going to get that shoved back in the face by more than just the Patriots this year. So I'm not sold on the Jets as the favorite here. The Patriots are the defending AFC East champs. But I think they're going to have their hands full with Miami. Don't get me wrong. The Jets will be formidable. And I did enjoy Hard Knocks. I did enjoy it. You know, profanity aside, from a guy like Rex Ryan, who was just, as far as I'm concerned, he was hysterical. He's a parody unto himself. He's a cartoonish figure. Now let's see if he can actually step up and help his team win some games. Then, if this Jets team, see, they've just heaped a ton of pressure on themselves. They put all kinds of pressure on themselves now. They say no, but I say yes, because now they've got to put up. Otherwise, it'll be time for them to shut up, because every time they open their mouths, it's not going to be worth anything, because they can't back it up on the field. And believe me, that kind of stuff carries a lot of weight around the NFL. You don't think for a moment that won't be circulating? All this stuff is already circulating inside the Patriots locker room. It is. It is. Not just the media. Not just talk show types like myself and the PFW guy. No, the players are talking about it. Believe me. And it's not just the Patriots players. Dolphins players, Bills players, and anybody else that will be on the Jets' schedule. I will say this. It won't be boring this year. It should be quite interesting. But I have a major concern over whether or not this Patriots team, already thin now defensively in the depth area, whether or not this team can stay healthy for the long haul and win more than 9 games. My question to you, and normally what we try to do every week, every day during the show, during the course of the regular season here, is ask you a question of the day that you can respond to either via email, by the telephone, or now with, you know, Facebook chat. And so my question of the day to you here is, how many wins does this Patriots team get? How many wins can they get? Is there a good side, a bad side, or down the middle? How many wins do you think this Patriots team will get? Webradio at patriots.com, 508-543-7482 is the telephone number. And Facebook me, Facebook friend me, and we'll chat with it that way as well. How many wins will this team get? All right, we're going to turn our attention to some of your emails. Got some other news and notes, obviously, to comment on today as well. Patriots are making some news. The Patriots also might be about to make some news. And we'll see what the latest is with the potential for Tom Brady signing a contract extension after a timeout here as you are inside the Patriots playbook.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
Pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome on the program.
Ron Jaworski, Bill Sims from CBS, joining us here inside the playbook.
Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2 on American Airlines Patriots.com. Radio.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in? It
says here American Airlines Flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? Jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight-related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Hey, Brian, it's Dad. I heard you won Patriot season tickets for life. Maybe we could grab a game together.
Who's this again?
It's Dad.
What kind of joke is this? You're not my dad.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm your dad.
Yeah, third one today. Okay. Dad, tell me, when's my birthday?
Oh, come on, Bri. You won Patriot season tickets for life. You want to talk about your birthday?
I'm hanging up.
Yeah, don't hang up on your father.
Oh, yeah. They'll be coming out of the woodwork once they find out you won season tickets for life on the New England Patriots instant game. You could also win $1 million instantly, plus a boatload of other great prizes.
I could do one of those quick adoptions. We could go to the game together, talk about the old days.
We don't have old days.
Good point.
Bye, Daddy.
Pick up the new Patriots instant game from the Mass State Lottery, masslottery.com.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday, to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday, to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Welcome back inside the playbook, our inaugural edition for the 2010 New England Patriot football season. My name is John Rook, web radio at patriots.com, 508-543-7482 is the telephone number. You can also friend us on Facebook, and we can do a little Facebook chatting as well, if you like, but would like to enter that into the equation as well this year. Just find me on Facebook, John Rook, J-O-H-N, dot R-O-O-K-E, and my Twitter account is at J-Rook, J-R-O-O-K-E, 0722. And if you see anything there like that, then by golly, just come on in, and we'll friend you, and then we'll do some chatting via the Facebook account. All right, got some emails to pass along to here, so we'll get started. First of all, this one comes from Sean, who says, John, great to have you back. I completely forgot about your show. Well, that's understandable, since I haven't been here since, what, last January? So I guess that's been, what, 8 months now? That's a long off season. You know, obviously PFW and PFW Progress goes to a once or twice a week format and then speeds it up again a little bit during the draft time in April and then picks it up again a little bit, I think, twice a week during the training camp time. And then we're back during the regular season. So we'll be here September, October, November, December, 4 months. And then if the Patriots get into the playoffs, and we really don't have any reason to think that they won't make the playoffs, although I do think they will struggle more this year to get into the playoffs than they perhaps have in recent years, and that's including the 11-5 year 2 years ago when they didn't make the playoffs. Listen, but so part of January as well, we'll be here for the playoffs anyway. We'll at least plan on that. But 2 until 4 p.m. Eastern time, right here on Patriots.com for the Patriots Playbook. And again, if you miss a program or you can't be here for the live show from 2 until 4, there are two other ways you can get us. Number one, we replay everything beginning at 6 p.m. Eastern time every night. So Patriots Playbook would come then at 8 p.m. because we would replay PFW in Progress from 6 until 8, and then the Playbook would go from 8 until 10. So you can pick us up at 8 p.m. Eastern time again on the replay of Patriots Playbook, same day, same version of the show. And if you can't listen to the replay version at 8 p.m. Eastern time, you can always download the podcast, as John Hanna has been known to tell us to do from time to time. Yeah, so, yeah, there we go. Okay, I'm looking at two emails here at once there. All right, so here we go. Sean says, with that said, forgot about the show. I'm back. Thank you, Sean. I am extremely concerned about this season. I see the Pats headed straight for 8-8 at best. I have been called many names for this prediction, such as a troll on message boards, a traitor, etc. I can't figure out how a fan can watch these preseason games and feel confident that the D will stop anyone. I saw Sam Bradford take them to school with little effort. Well, Sean, I saw the same game that you did. I can understand how some people would feel a little perplexed by this team off the bat, because game one and game two against the Saints and against the Falcons, I think we were led to believe that this team might be a little bit better off than we originally thought. Frankly, I was pleasantly surprised. I realize it's preseason games, but I actually thought that that game against the Falcons, no less, was as smartly played a preseason game as I've seen this Patriot team play in several years. It was crisp. It was exact. When the starters were in there, they moved the football. The defense performed up to capabilities. I mean, maybe the Falcons didn't want to show anything more to the Patriots based on what the two teams did against each other in practice that week. But I just thought that was a well-played game. I'm thinking, wow, maybe these guys are ahead of themselves. And they come back and, you know, they play that, the third game against the Rams here, and they allow a guy like Sam Bradford to torch them. Now, Bradford's a good quarterback, okay? Obviously, he was the number one pick of the draft. He's got a lot of physical tools. He showed them all that day. I would love to have seen him face a little pressure, because he didn't face any that night against the Patriots. Undoubtedly, he didn't face what he will see from probably every other team that he faces during the course of the regular season that the Rams play. Nevertheless, it was still the Rams, and the Patriots lost the game on a last-second field goal in a game that really meant nothing. I will tell you, though, that the Patriots' offense, and week three being the normal week that you see the majority of the starters, and I know that's been talked about by the PFW guys, but week three is generally the week that you like to kind of hang your head on, that your starters normally play at least a half, if not well into the third quarter. It's their most work. It's the one game in the preseason that you think, all right, this is as much as really we're going to see what the team opening week of the regular season should look like. And if we see that third week preseason Patriots team against the Bengals this Sunday, this team will get beat and may get beat badly at Gillette this Sunday if we see that same team that played against the Rams. Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen, but the first team defense was horrific. The first team offense struggled until they got sent back out there, you know, for the second half, and they actually made a game out of it. I do think the offense will be fine. I told you I think this offense can approach 2007 levels. I don't know that they'll get there because I've still got too many questions in the running game. I mean, they didn't do really anything to improve the running game. It's the same running game they had last year. And, you know, they didn't do anything. They got to show me. You know, Fred Taylor, God love him, he's going to be a Hall of Fame back at some point, but does he have anything left in the gas tank? He was hurt most of last year. Sammy Morris, hurt most of last year. Kevin Falk, he's almost as old as Methuselah. Lawrence Maroney, those of you that have been along with this show ever since Maroney came into this league 4 years ago now know that I have never been a Lawrence Maroney fan. I don't think I ever will be a Lawrence Maroney fan. I guess he's still got a chance to show me, but I keep saying, show me, Lawrence. Show us, Lawrence. Show us you can be an every down back. He hasn't done it. I don't think he will. The reason that we haven't seen him cut loose is because he was a first-round draft pick, and the Patriots don't want to admit abject failure when it comes to picking Lawrence Maroney. So he's got another shot. You know, Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, I mean, he seems to be the one guy in that offensive backfield that is trying to maximize his abilities. You know, overachieving, if you will. But he's not an every-down back either. I look at Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, as the eventual replacement for Kevin Falk. That's what I look at him as. Now, time will tell. But it's the same offensive backfield. Wes Welker, being back this year, should be the story of the year. He already, in my mind, is a comeback player of the year in the NFL. If he comes anywhere close to the kind of numbers he had last year, he undoubtedly will be the comeback player of the year. I said on one of the Patriots Friday shows, I think we did during training camp on EEI, it was me and Chris Price doing the show, which you'll hear us on Patriots Monday and Patriots Friday, also here on Patriots.com radio from time to time when we, you know, sit in for the EEI guys. But I said that I thought Welker, if he starts week one, we'll get 1,000 yards. I said it. I'll stick with it. If he can do that, if he can grab 80 to 90 balls, he has a shot at 1,000 yards, and he's possible he can get there. Now, he may or may not get that number for two reasons. One, well, obviously, the health issue. They want to make sure, I'm sure, that they bring him back slowly. Although, if he's out there in week one, my guess is the Patriots will go to him just like they would go to him pre-knee injury. Hey, if he's going to be out there, he's got to be out there ready to go 100%, just like he's always been out there. But I think more than that factor will be the fact that the Patriots have two rookie tight ends in Gronkowski and Hernandez that they can actually throw the ball to, and that these two guys can actually go and get the football and actually catch the football and then do something with the football once they catch it, unlike what they've had in the last couple of years. That's exciting from an offensive point of view. It's got to excite Tom Brady, and hopefully we'll start to see that based on what we saw a little bit during the preseason. Hopefully we'll start to see that. You know, first of all, Aaron Hernandez is really a glorified wide receiver anyway. He really is. He's just like a big wide receiver. Gronkowski, he's got great hands, willing to go over the middle, big dude. He's got speed. You know, I'm really excited about him. Great size. looking like he's not showing any ill effects of the back injury that basically cost him his senior year at Arizona. I'm excited about those two guys. And then, of course, there's Algie Crumpler, who is a Pro Bowl caliber player, certainly on the downside of his career, but had some great season with the Atlanta Falcons, and he's a solid blocker. He's certainly an adequate receiver. I think the Patriots are in great shape where that's concerned. So going to the tight end, which we've all been, I think, basically moaning about, complaining about, going to the tight end is a factor for this team now. And they should go to the tight end like they haven't been able to do over the last couple of years. That will probably take more opportunities away from Wes Welker than Wes's relative health situation. But if he gets close to the same kind of numbers catch-wise, he should be there yardage-wise. I will stay with my original prediction that Wes is going to get 1,000 yards. He's going to be right there. And quite frankly, I'm excited about his coming back. You know, Randy Moss today, one of the stories that's certainly making news already today is Moss.
Great cash, homie.
Yeah, well, that's what he wants. That's exactly what he wants. He wants the straight cash, and he's upset. He's feeling a little unappreciated. He's feeling a little disrespected. You know, first of all, I would say, Randy, who are you playing for? Haven't the Patriots always treated their players like this? Yeah, they have. My guess is now that, you know, if, and the other major news item today, obviously, rumors out there that WEEI was saying that a deal with Tom Brady was imminent. Boston Herald was reporting that a new contract extension for Tom Brady was imminent, and ESPN has been reporting since that point in time that no deal is imminent. Doesn't mean that it's not being negotiated, but no deal is imminent. Doesn't mean it won't get done, but no deal is imminent. It was rumored 3 years, $58 million. Obviously, I think we all agree, pay the man the money. Pay the man the money and let's move on. Hopefully that deal gets done. But my guess is once Brady's deal gets done, yes, depending upon what Randy does, and I think the Patriots, you know, it's you got to show me whatever he does this year, I think the Patriots will offer Randy. And I think the Patriots will try to re-sign him. I don't know if they'll be able to get to the money that Randy believes he deserves, especially if he has a Pro Bowl caliber year this year, but I do believe that they have Randy in their future plans. How can you not? Keep a good, close look at Price and at Tate and how they figure into the Patriots' offensive scheme this year. And if those guys start to get used more often, you should yourself have an opinion on whether or not Randy Moss figures into future Patriots plans. But I do think it's going to happen.
I get a good over-under question here for you, John.
Yes, and by the way, I do want to introduce formally Kevin Collins, who's our new producer, not only for PFW in Progress, but our new producer for Patriots Playbook. And Kevin was at 98.5, the Sports Hub, and we're happy to have him inside the Playbook starting here in our 10th season. Yes, Kevin.
But Brandon Tate, over-under 60 catches.
Oh, I got to go under.
Okay.
I have to go under. Now, if you're talking me 45 catches, I might be willing to go over
okay.
on that.
I was just looking for a ballpark on where you think he'll be in terms of, like, where he'll rank in terms of Brady's targets.
I would say 45 to 60. That would be my guess. But if we see that number start to rise a little bit, that ought to tell you what they feel about Randy a little bit and the ability to bring him back. They're trying to nurture guys to come along here because Randy, after all, let's face it, he's not getting any younger.
And it could tell you a little bit about Wes Welker's health, too. We don't know how many balls he's going to get.
I still think Welker can catch 80 balls. I really do. If he can catch 80 balls, he's going to be at or near 1,000 yards.
Yeah, if he catches 80, I think the general consensus will be it's been a successful year for him post-surgery.
No question. I mean, if he steps on the field in week one, he's comeback player of the year. And you just hand him the trophy if they have such a beast. Hand him the trophy now based on what we saw last December. I mean, you know, my God, we all thought that his career could be done based on his knee injury. And look at him. I mean, Welker is just, he's in a tremendous story. We're so lucky to have him in a Patriots uniform.
Yeah, and people need to realize, too, that the 123 catches he has, or that he had last year, you know, that's not going to be a thing that he would repeat, and even if he was healthy, maybe.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with that. I totally agree with that, even if he was healthy. And I think largely because, you know, hopefully the Patriots have tight ends now that they can throw to, as I described in the offensive scheme there. Let me see if I can squeeze in a couple other emails here because I got a, as I mentioned off the top of the program, we're somewhat abbreviated today just because I got a scheduling conflict with my son's school. So we'll have an early edition of Fantasy Lowdown with Brian Lowe coming up, and then we'll be back on our regular 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern time schedule tomorrow for the playbook. John in South Carolina. Rook, you're going to be calling any Clemson games. We'll be visiting the glory that is Death Valley at Clemson. Clemson is not on my schedule, John, but I will tell you that North Carolina is. That's my first game in a couple of weeks. I have Georgia Tech, North Carolina. And like LeBron, I'm going to be taking my talents to South Beach twice this year. How great is that? Are you jealous, Kev?
I wish I could go with you. I could be your carry-on.
Yeah, absolutely. John, secondly, says, I'm getting a sensitive feeling of gloom ever since I read a list of player releases this weekend. Am I jumping the gun, or will we not be weak at outside linebacker, cornerback, and defensive line? Yes, yes, and yet, yes. You're not jumping the gun. We will be weak at outside linebacker. I wouldn't say weak. I'll say thin. We'll definitely be thin at quarterback, cornerback. We might be weak at cornerback, and we're definitely thin on the defensive line. We're not weak, we're thin. So I would say thin at outside backer and defensive line, potentially weak at cornerback based on the injuries that we've already seen and based on the fact that we have younger players. You're right there, and that's why I can't see this team. Man, if this team goes 9-7, frankly, we probably and squeezes into the playoffs, it should be a good year. All right, John, good to have you back. It's time to gear up and kick off the season. I have class in the studio on Tuesdays and Thursdays. I'll make sure to have my headphones on, listening to everything about the Patriots while I'm working on my projects, and hopefully I get to write or call in every once in a while. This is our friend Dagmar in Miami. Great to hear from you, Dagmar. He says, my question in reference to the Bengals game would be, who would you double-team, Ochocinco or T.O.? And if they're too much of a threat together, wouldn't we fall short on surprise running plays while trying to cover the mentioned receivers? Anyways, good to have you back. Thank you, Dagmar. It's good to be back. I don't know that you can afford to cover, you know, double team both, but I would say if you had to double team one, you got to go with Ochocinco. Take your chances with T.O. in single coverage.
It's my quarterback.
You know, I'm sure he'll be saying the same thing about Carson Palmer, too. But if I had to pick my druthers, I'd say be worried about Ochocinco and less so about Terrell Owens. Less so. But you can't forget about T.O. because he certainly, I think, has ability. By the way, did you see where these two guys are going to co-host a talk show on television? Versus Network is going to carry this.
They got to put something on, right?
Yeah, I know, but they're actually it's going to be called the T. Ochocinco Show or something like that. Oh boy!
But what a great storyline for these two young corners the Patriots have to get names like this coming in Week One.
Yeah, nothing like being thrown into the frying pan for a Butler and for
McCourty. Yeah, you get a second-year player and a rookie against these two guys.
On your first game of the season. Yeah, isn't that great? Wow. I mean, you know, don't be surprised, gang. Don't be surprised if this is a 38-35 game and the Patriots may not have the 38, okay? Don't be surprised if that happens. John, this is Alejandro, formerly from Bogota, now chiming in from Worcester. Hey, Alejandro. Welcome back to the U.S. I got admitted to grad school, so it's nice to be in Patriots country, but I haven't seen any posters endorsing John Rook for Congress. And you won't either. It's our first Nitpick Tuesday. Yes, normally on Tuesdays during the course of the regular season, Alejandro is right on as a regular listener. We call it Nitpick Tuesdays when we nitpick over the previous week's game. We really hadn't had a whole lot of nitpicks to get to since this is the first week. But anyway, he says, I'm concerned about the defense's inability to rush the passer, which will expose the secondary. I agree that all games will be played in shutout. I think he meant shootout mode. So be prepared for those 3.5-hour-long games. I hope this team can somehow prevent the big play and excel in the red zone where there is no downfield for Merriweather to blow coverages. Ooh. That said, I think the team will go as far as Tom Brady takes it. My prediction's 10-6. I will continue to listen faithfully. Nice to have you back. Hope everything is good with you and your family. Thank you, Alejandro. Same to you, and welcome back to the country, and good luck in grad school in Worcester. That's exciting. You'll have to send me details of what you're doing. Okay, next. This comes from... Oh, do we have a name on this one? Oh, this is... TG. Thank you. TG in New Jersey. Hello, TG. All right, he says, oh, my God, John Rook on the air at Patriots.com. Patriots football is back for sure. Thank you, TG. Now, John, this is how I see it playing out right now. Hope it's enough for the playoffs. He says, lose Bengals, lose at the Jets, win Bills, lose at the Dolphins. So they go into the bye week 1-3. Ouch. TG, let me say this. If the Patriots go 1-3 into the bye week, and I will repeat this in a couple of weeks now, okay? But if they go 1-3 into the bye week, no playoffs.
I agree.
I'm willing to go out on a limb and say that right now. Right, Kev?
I think
no
two,
playoffs,
yeah,
1-3.
I think 2-2 is pretty much like the bare minimum that where they would still,
two and two.
Still consider them in it.
I think 2-2 is doable. I think 2-2 we all ought to be thankful for going into the bye week on October the 10th. Then he says wins against the Ravens, win at the Chargers. That ain't going to happen. Win against the Vikings, win at the Browns, lose at the Steelers, lose to the Colts, beat the Lions, beat the Jets, beat the Bears, lose the Packers, lose the Bills, or win the Bills and lose the Dolphins. He says that's 9-7. What are you thinking? Well, I'm thinking 9-7, but we're picking different teams here. We got different wins and different losses in different places. That's what I think. Next up here, Howard. John, welcome back. Good to hear your voice coming over my computer speakers because that means it's football season, and for me, there is no better time of year. My initial take on the year is the following. Lots of confidence in the offense and the special teams. Little to no confidence in the D based on inexperience and changes that happened over the offseason. I think the offense and special teams are going to win some games that should have been lost by simply outscoring the opposing team. I would agree, Howard. Conversely, I think the D is going to lose some games that should have been won by not being able to stop opposing teams. I think they'll get better as the year goes on and they gain more experience, but I still think there are going to be a lot more growing pains on that side of the ball. As always, I will go into every game rooting for the Pats to win, but I can see them going anywhere from 8-8 to 11-5 this year, depending upon how fast the D gels and develops. I think it's going to be a roller coaster season with a bunch of crazy games that will either be completely uplifting or totally deflating. Should be an interesting season. Look forward to sharing it with you and the rest of Patriots Nation. We'll do so by being at the first game with my son, Section 132, along with pregame on-the-field passes through NFL reward points. How about that for a plug? Excellent, Howard. This is our friend Howard in Orange, Connecticut, I believe. Great way to start the season. Hopefully it starts with a win. Actually, he's now in Stratford, Connecticut. Howard, great to hear from you. Great to hear from you. And enjoy the game on Sunday. Now, let me wrap up here with one more email. This doesn't have a name, does it? No, it doesn't. Make sure you send... Oh, yeah, Gene in Daytona Beach. Thank you, Gene. So, hi, John. 12 wins, he says. Javaris James will eventually become your starting running back. Keep up the honest opinions, John. Love your show. I'd love to be able to work to share in your opinion there, Gene, but goodness, I think 12 is a little on the high side. Although I do think Javaris James, an interesting pickup, was undrafted, University of Miami. Believe he is a cousin of Edgerrin. Does that sound right, Kev? Cousin of Edgerrin, I think?
I think that's correct.
Yeah, cousin of Edgerrin James. But they both went to the University of Miami. He could end up being that guy. I definitely think he'll be on the active roster before the year is out, as he was signed to the practice squad in the past couple of days. All right, as I mentioned, my scheduling conflict only allows me to get in 1 hour today, so we've got an early welcome edition of Fantasy Lowdown. Brian Lowe, what's happening today, big fella?
It's never too early, John.
No, it's
Fantasy
not.
Lowdown. I mean, you're right, technically. You know, we come Thursdays 4 to 5, and that is the time that we'll be coming to you every week through the football season, but a special circumstances dictate that 3 to 4 on this particular Tuesday is the best time to debut to debut the 2010 edition of the Fantasy Lowdown.
I want you to know that I'm appreciative, since my son is going to be standing out in the middle of nowhere in a rough part of town for a while, so it's time to go get him.
You know, it works for both of us. Trust me. You know, scheduling conflicts I might have on Thursday, hypothetically, scheduling conflicts you have today, it works out perfectly, and this way, anyone who has fantasy football questions regarding that Thursday night game, they'll have more than just 3 or 4 hours in between the Fantasy Lowdown and the deadline to get your lineup in for that game. You now have about 52 hours. So I think this is really a service to fantasy football players everywhere.
perfect. And plus, you know, a lot of people are obviously just finishing up their drafts. They're trying to get their rosters in shape. So why not get it started, right?
Why not? And, you know, drafts might be happening as we speak tonight, tomorrow. And, you know, it's a flurry of activity in the NFL world and the fantasy football world. They're very much interconnected, as you know, John. But isn't it great just to be back, you know, our first full week leading into week one, PFW, you know, Patriots.com programming and the NFL slate underway.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here. All right, Brian's coming up after the break. Thanks to Kevin. I'm glad everybody's got a chance to meet our producer, Kevin Collins. Don't forget, you got to keep those cards and letters coming. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. You can also find us on Facebook, find us on Twitter. You know, call us during the show, but we're happy to be here. Patriots Playbook is back, baby. We'll be back 2 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow. Same Pat's time, same Pat's channel.
From NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
I'm pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome on the program.
Ron Jaworski, Bill Sims from CBS, joining us here inside the playbook.
Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2 on American Airlines Patriots.com radio. Yeah.